Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
What?
Do that thing you do.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you. It's a full room. I'm Sean Roberts. That man over there.
I'm Steve.
That's Steve Silva right
there. That's right. Right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that lovely thing. Look at her. Look at her. And that's producer Casey.
And this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
That's right, laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, even the nutty things.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new out there, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that in several ways. Comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
I was jumping in there. Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And we got an awesome show for you guys today. We'll be doing some catching up. 10:30, we got our favorite man, Mr. Mighty John Marshall. That's right. And since it is One Hit Wonder Day, he is going to be talking about the top 40, collective 45 singles that are One Hit Wonders that you want to go out there and look for at garage sales and everything. So that's kind of cool. We also got the most expensive comic books for Comic Book Day. And it's the last day of Hispanic Heritage Month. So we got the Spanish words or the Mexican words of the day. And then also, we'll be talking to Shamu the whale later on. That's right. We're going to have a whale of a time.
Now, let's see. Page 2. Oh, no. Don't read that. You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose and, most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Of course, today's theme was That Thing You Do. From the movie, That Thing You Do, written by That Thing You Like, Mr. Tom Hanks. That's right. There you go. Simple and easy as that. And, of course, guys, any other songs that we play here on Your Weekly Dose, you can always go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark it in the shop to your heart's delight. That's right. Click away, click away, click away. Simple as that. And that way we get a little bit of money when you do the shopping, and that helps us stay on the air.
Yeah, just shop till you drop.
Exactly. And now, guys, don't forget, if you enjoy the show, remember to tell a friend, you know, because we can't grow without you.
So spread the word from about our show to your friends. Who knows? Maybe we'll like them better than you.
You never know.
It could happen.
It could happen. Huh. Yeah, you never know. You know, it especially if they're cuter than you, you know.
That's true.
We'll definitely,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we tend to gravitate to the cute rather
cute ones.
Than the,
yeah.
The elephant manish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the trunks, the long trunks. I don't know where you're going with that, but okay.
Okay.
All right. I guess I'll bring my elephant gun, so. I don't know what you're talking about over there, but I'm playing along, and of course, Casey's looking at both of us going, what the hell is going on with you two? I have no idea. But in the meantime, you know what? Let's catch up with each other.
Do 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 do. Oh, there we go.
I love it.
I want to be a producer.
I love that. Casey's first blunder. Wait, look at us like a deer in headlights. Okay,
she,
guys.
She had such a big smile on her face waiting for me to go.
She was so proud of something.
I know. I was like,
so
oh,
proud of something. She didn't
know what
it was. We're
going to catch up. We're going to catch up. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. What's it going to be about? I can't wait to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to push the button. How you doing, sweetheart?
Multiple this morning. Doing well, gentlemen.
Oh,
how's
my.
It going?
Oh, hey, there's me too. Like, wow, we're all on now.
We're all on. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring the music down and let's start with Casey. How was your week?
Gentlemen, it's apparently been too much of one for me.
Wow.
Outside of that, it's been pretty good, lackadaisical. The traffic has been awful, and I do a heck of a lot of driving.
Really?
Yeah, but thank God the Prius I got right now, 56 miles to the gallon.
Lucky you.
Tain't bad, McGee.
No, it ain't. Yeah. It ain't, not at all. The 50 miles, I mean, because you and we got to let the listeners know, and there's a lot of listeners out there, too, who drive in Southern California. And I'm sure we've got listeners also, like, you know, in Indiana on the East Coast, of course, with our affiliates,
mm-hmm.
that do an awful lot of driving, you know, because maybe they, you know, they're working or they live out towards Baltimore, but they're driving into D.C. or something, mm-hmm. you know. Most of the time, you know, you're on the outskirts of D.C. on either side of the states or whatever with the capital. But here in Southern California, man, it's a totally different beast. And some people will live where Casey lives, which is out in Lake Elsinore.
Mm-hmm.
And drive all the way to Santa Monica.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's
only three times a week. Only three.
Yeah, luckily it's only three times.
Yeah, because if it was every day. But see, people, there are some people that do that every day. Here.
Every day. During the week, it is at minimum a 2 hour and 20 minute drive.
I believe it.
Whoa. Easily. The weekends, it clears up a lot better. In case you guys were looking for your traffic update, you may now join us for that every Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. The freeways are not clear still on a Saturday. what's also kind of interesting, too, though, is how much traffic does play a part in it. Because, like, before I lost my job with COVID, because of COVID, rather, it was a 20-minute drive, easy, from my house to Gardena. Easy. 20 minutes tops. And I'm taking my time getting there. But because of LA traffic, add now an hour to that 20 minutes. You know, because there was just so much going on. So I'll stop and go. Thank God I know all the streets too. So if the freeway was way too backed up, I could take side streets from my house to work.
And I had an office space frustration moment this week where I was hanging back, waiting for the traffic to just move so that I could cruise slowly at like 20 miles an hour, right? Just creep along.
Right.
And I wait, and there's probably about three cars distance between me and the car in front of me.
Oh, somebody comes in front of you?
And I let off the brake. I'm telling you, not just one, not two, three people came in front of me in the line there into the lane.
Yeah.
And I didn't even move forward.
Right. Yeah.
Like zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, apparently not the strategy.
Yeah, no, you gotta be on everybody's ass in Southern California. It's like, nope, this is my spot.
Otherwise, you just don't go anywhere.
You do, yeah. Sometimes you end up going backwards, you know. But that's a long drive, though. I mean, Lake Elsinore out to Santa Monica.
Yeah, I've started listening to a lot of books on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a
What's
big
your favorite
advocate
one so far?
For the Audible. You know, the one that I was just telling Steve earlier this morning I've been really enjoying listening to is 1984.
Okay.
George Orwell.
Yeah.
It's a really good book to listen to. There's some moments in there that kind of really jive with things of modern culture as well. And so there's some moments where you can kind of zone out, think about things, really kind of evaluate them. And then there's something captivating that super happens in the book and brings you right back in. And then you start focusing again on the actual storyline and what's being told. And so it's a nice one to drive to. Because you can have those separate moments where you have to focus on something and you can pull yourself away from the story to do that and then jump right back in there because something really captivating has begun.
That's cool.
Have you ever seen the John Hurt movie?
No. You know what? I haven't watched it.
Oh,
is it a good one?
Oh, yes. John Hurt's amazing.
Ender's Game was another really good book to listen to in the car. Mm. And then the entire Bean series, which is a side series.
Oh, I love the Bean series.
To the Ender Games, and they're
because
really
there's,
great.
There's the Pinto. There's the
Lima.
Lima, yeah. And then the...
And the Halvia.
The Halvia, yeah. Yeah.
Halvia.
Yeah, there's that one, too. And then what else was there, Steve? Do you remember?
The Wurya.
Wurya. Wurya. Wurya Bean, yeah. Yeah, those are good. Those, that's a great series. That's a great series. Yeah, I love it.
All right, gentlemen, enough about me.
Okay. Steve, how is
your week? Oh, frustrating as hell. What can I say? I last Saturday went and watched Sean perform at Phil Tranny's in Long Beach. It's a great restaurant. Really good food. They're, you know, trying to recover from the shutdowns and everything, COVID, and they, you know, and so it's they're a little frazzled, but they have a good restaurant, and it's a good place to go in Long Beach. But unfortunately, I left my backpack there. Now I don't care about my backpack, but I do care about
because it's Nike,
the,
so we don't
the set of headphones, my Sony Studio headphones that were in it. My portable battery for my cell phones was in it. My COVID vaccination card was in it.
Ah.
And my tablet was in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been trying to find it in this last week since then and stuff, and they can't find it. And I think the battery ran out on Monday because the last time that Google Mapping had contact with it was on Monday, and that was at the restaurant. So, but they can't find it anywhere, and it's like just been frustrating. And I'm like, oh no, because I don't want to have to replace all that crap. But
are you still vaccinated if you don't have the vaccination card
no
longer?
No, you are not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It immediately disperses out of your body through your perspiration. Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. So so Steve has been not going on bike rides lately, so he can try and stay in him.
We should
longer
give that revelation to all the conspiracy theorists who
that's
don't
true
believe
we just
the
did. I think we just did. Yeah.
Now they'll get it. Realize they just can throw their card away and they're fine again.
Yeah, and they're fine. Exactly.
Yeah. We found a way to end the pandemic.
But you know, it was a cool. We got together on Wednesday.
Yeah, the three of us.
Yeah,
did.
We got together on Wednesday to do a planning meeting for the next couple of months and. That was a lot of fun. Enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get together and brainstorm.
Plan.
Shall we say? Yeah. I had a
plan
good time,
for the show.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah. So how about you, Sean?
It was a little bit of a quiet week, but Thursday I practiced with my friend Janelle because we have a show together tonight. So tonight's our debut show, and it's going to be at a brewery over in Anaheim. And so we're pretty excited. We're just doing a couple of hours. She's doing the first hour, and then the two of us are doing the second hour. And so we've had our final rehearsal to do these songs and everything, these cover songs. And we did really good. So, and having a blast with it so far. And hopefully a lot of friends will come out, and hopefully I know a lot of her family comes out for her and everything to watch her perform and stuff.
Mm.
So that'd be kind of cool. But then I want to do a quick announcement, though, because I was talking to, as some of you guys know and who've listened to the show, you know, I'm a huge Monkees fan. And of
you don't
course,
like the small ones?
No, I don't like the small ones. I don't like the small ones. The bigger ones are nice.
Yeah, the huge Monkees.
Yeah, the huge Monkees. But, of course, I'm also friends with the new Monkees that, you know, there was the recreation.
Were they huge?
No, they would like to be, though.
So they were kind of small monkeys.
They were small.
They were new, so they hadn't grown into it yet.
Right, you know. Okay. And the reason why I do like the new Monkees versus the original Monkees is because they do have that new monkey smell.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
and if you've ever smelled a monkey, you know it needs to be a new monkey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was talking. I saw that my friend Marty Ross posted something on Facebook, and apparently he found the cassette, or a cassette, it was like the holy grail for them, of the four of them rehearsing before they even recorded the album or even started filming.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple of songs on there that have never been heard before at all. So Marty's right now is trying to find the proper cassette machine because it was done on a four-track machine, but you use cassettes. and to try to find the right proper one so the heads line up so he can pull all of that off of the cassette and put it into a digital format and everything.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so I can't wait till he finds the right one, and I can't wait to hear some of the songs. And then also Jarrett Chandler of the New Monkees, he and I were talking the other night, and he is now the co-executive producer, and he's working on a brand new show on Amazon. And so they're in the writing phase right now, so he's very, very excited about this whole thing. So I can't wait till we get him on and talk about that and everything. So he's pretty excited about it, and so am I, because at 10 to 1, it's going to be a military kind of a thing, because that's what his background is now. He is a military expert for TV shows and films. So we'll talk about that, hopefully, and then we'll also probably talk about Top Gun Maverick whenever it comes out. So, because he was the advisor on that film, too. So it'll be kind of exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So that was my week and everything. And then, like I said, tonight we're performing out at the brewery in Anaheim. So
that's right. Yes. The something broken.
Broken Tavern.
Tavern.
Yeah.
Brewery.
Brewery. So. And they're going to have a pizza truck out there. So gourmet pizza truck. So if you like gourmet pizza, I don't know what that means.
Ooh. Oh, like at the California Pizza Kitchen?
Oh, God, I can't eat there. I swear to God, I've eaten there 3 times. And every single time it's like, oh, that was a not.
I didn't like it either.
It's like, oh. And I got to go to the bathroom, and it goes right through me. I kid you not. And it's coming out like Old Faithful. It's disgusting. Oh, my God. Every single time. Oh, worse.
Faithful.
That's the pre-show right there.
It's like the triple flutter blaster.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like, because I'm scared if, like, am I going to fart or is it going to come out?
Or shart.
Yeah, exactly. I am so, you know, I'm doing that butt pinch cheek walk all the way to the bathroom.
God. Like John Pinette when he eats his Indian food. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
They shouldn't serve the curry all at once.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and, but yeah, I can't eat there. Oh, but we'll see what it's like, whatever, for this, you know, this truck that's coming out and everything. Hopefully it'll be decent pizza. You know, I don't want to pay no $15 for a slice. That's for damn sure.
And that's one thing about the food trucks now. You have to be careful because some of the food trucks think they're, like, you know, pretty hoity-toity, and they charge all this money for, you know, it's just food truck food.
Yeah, everything. You know, you get, like, this, you get that. Okay, yeah. I'll take this, a side of fries, and a Diet Coke, and you're going, $25?
I know. That's like, wait a minute. You know, last time we were there, they had it was a Mexican food thing, sort of a nachos. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah,
it
wasn't, he had different things or whatever, but I got the nachos when I was there because that was like one of the cheapest things.
That's a good, it's a cool place. Although, you said you were going to do it indoors this time?
Yeah, we're doing it indoors. Okay. So because they took away the outdoor thing that they had originally because of COVID. So now they're letting everybody go back indoors. So we'll see how it's going to sound. I'm a little worried about it because that room in front, basically, it's nothing but concrete floors, concrete walls, and a glass wall.
So, and there's the ceiling's a little high too.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of reverberation in there naturally. So, but we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll play it by ear.
Should be cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll
I'm
be
looking
fun
forward
overall.
To it.
It'll be fun overall.
They've got some good brews there.
Yeah.
There's a nice little California blonde there that I like to hook up
with. Some of the brews aren't worn bad. There was a seltzer that they had that I liked that was pretty good too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
it
right.
Wasn't
I remember
too bad.
You had that.
The seltzer, so. But I think they've got about, 20-25 different types of brews there overall.
Yeah. It kind of depends on what they've been brewing, how many they have, and, you know, it sort of changes a little bit time to time.
Yeah, they change up. Exactly. So, but anyway, so yeah, so that was my week. So I'm ready for tonight. I was really hoping to get out to Calico this weekend because it's Calico Days, and I like to play cowboys and Indians. So, and there's a group that's actually out in your area, Casey.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That they do reenactments. It's the Marietta. What was it? No, Old Town Marietta Gunslingers. And they do reenactments and everything, you know, from the Old West and stuff, whatever. So I'm thinking about joining that team because It's the only team that's like closest to where I live in Orange County. Everybody else is like 80 miles away or whatever. I'm like, oh.
It's an afternoon.
Yeah, it was like, I wouldn't, if I want to be a part of it, it's like I want to like leave the show and then like get out there right away. So Marietta is like the closest one. But they're going out to the Ghost Town Calico, like going to Vegas, because it's an event today and tomorrow where they're going to be doing a bunch of reenactments and stuff and what have you. So, but I won't be able to make it out, so I got to stay home.
Bummer. Guess we got to organize it where we can have the show there 1 year, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't mind that, or even going out to Marietta and doing something out there.
You know how microphones love gunfire.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So maybe go out there and teach them a few things, you know. So you call that comedy? I'll show you comedy.
Yeah, I got your comedy right here.
Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, anyway, so that's about it. Yeah.
Well,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So what we got coming up right now? What we got? What we got? Oh, I see. And we got time for a bunch of these.
Are we going to do this?
Let's do it after.
At time. Okay.
Let's do it after. But today is also One Hit Wonder Day.
Yes.
Everybody's got their favorite one hit wonders.
Yes.
Overall. And of course, you know, people say, well, so and so's got a couple of hits or whatever, you know. Yeah, but you know, you got to be in the top 10, you know.
I have a question about that because I mean, look, I've got the VH1 100 greatest one hit wonders.
Yeah. Okay, what you got?
But some of them aren't like, I mean, to me, one hit wonder means a group had a hit and then none of their other music meant anything.
Right.
But on this list, there's like Soft Cell and Vanilla Ice and the Baha Men and Debbie Boone and, you know, the Sir Mix-a-Lot. They have other music that, well, maybe they didn't get to the top 10, but it was, you know, mainstream music.
Right.
So I the definition of one hit wonder to me kind of isn't set in stone. I think it's what just somebody's opinion whether or not it's
a one hit wonder or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you gotta, I mean, that's something that we can ask our Mighty John Marshall.
That'd be good.
About,
yeah.
We'll have to ask him about that.
Cause but I'm confused.
Yeah, but to me, yeah, I kind of agree with you. It's supposed to be they only had that one song. And, you know, their follow-up was just so horrible that they just fell off the face of the earth.
Like, it has Iron Butterfly in it, got a DeVita.
See,
Iron Butterfly had a lot of good music.
But did it make, you know, the top 100?
Yeah, see that, yeah.
So, to me, that it was their one hit wonder.
So, I'm kind of thinking, maybe I'll change my idea of what a one hit wonder is. Because, it, you know, who can argue with VH1?
Oh, I can.
Oh, good.
I can.
I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, yeah. So now, do you have a particular one-hit wonder song?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, it's called Escape by Rupert...
Holmes.
I almost said Jones.
Oh, yeah. This is my go-to karaoke song. And I don't know what it is.
How funny.
But all the women love this song.
They do. I was tired of my lady.
We'd been together too long. Everybody's chair dancing.
Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed.
Apparently women just love songs about adultery.
Yeah.
There was this letter I read.
Well, that's just it. Wait.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, then I'm the love that you look for. Write to me and escape.
Now, here's the thing, and I agree with Casey here on this song, is that it is about adultery, you know?
I'll leave it up. Perceived adultery, in a sense.
Right.
Yeah,
you know.
The expectation of not necessarily committing it.
Now, granted, they're committing it, but they're committing it with each other. which is the irony of the song.
Well, yeah.
They're having an affair
gonna,
with
they're
each other.
They're going to get together.
You know,
and then
well, I think it's more that the moral of the song is that they actually had more in common with one another than they were remembering.
Yeah, it just took
well,
a
they
little
relight
something.
The fire,
right?
Is what
yeah.
it is. They
yeah,
relight
yeah, yeah.
The fire.
As long as it has a happy ending, everyone's okay.
And that's true.
With
and
all the wrongs that happened in the middle,
right? You know,
and once you get to make that face, it's okay then.
It's like, oh.
So yeah, but I like the things they sing about. I really do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any things I'm weird or not, but
you're weird.
I love that stuff. I just always have. So.
Well, it's one of those songs where you're twisting what the song is about. You know, and like Casey was saying, it's a happy ending at the end of it all. So yeah, everybody goes home. But I can't tell you how many times I've been in a karaoke bar. And this thing, it starts off, and women are, yeah, oh. I'm like, really? Okay. All right, you know, we'll see what happens. You know. Now, I got to say, this song, though, was one of the first ones where it was a loop. Because Rupert said that when he recorded the song, the tape kind of got screwed up. So he had to search for the best 16 bars of the song. And they just looped it
and just kept playing it
and playing it over and over and over and cutting the tape and playing it and cutting the tape and playing it. So it's actually the very first looper. You know, it's just 16 bars.
I could make a movie out of that and call it Looper.
There you go. Yeah. All right, Casey, what did you pick?
All righty. So I went ahead and pulled up Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh yeah.
By the Bugles.
Buggles.
Buggles. Nice. Thanks.
The Bugles?
Dude, the English language has no indicators on how things are pronounced, okay?
That's true.
And see, where I'm looking at it from right now, it looks like the Oogles.
The Oogles.
Yeah.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Ow, ow.
They took the credit for your second symphony. Rewritten by machine on new technology. And now I understand the problems you can see.
Ow, ow.
I met your children.
Why did you pick this one?
Because I think this is kind of one of the marks where music stopped focusing so much on the string instruments and started bringing in more of the beats, laying down bass tracks. I think that was a big transition for music at the time.
Well, it also came into a time period, too, where a lot of electronics were coming in, you know, and using different synthesizers and stuff and drum machines and so forth. So, yeah, I can totally see that. See? You going to say something? Or?
Something.
Okay, cool. and what's funny, too, is that some people know, some people don't, but when MTV first started, this was the very first video that was played on MTV.
Yes, I did know that, in fact. It actually did, in fact, kill the radio stars.
It really did, to a degree.
And then MTV proceeded to kill music.
Oh, God, tremendously.
Tremendously. It was a great thing. It was like one of those weird situations where this great thing happened, and then it went to shit.
Are you saying that MTV may have been a one-hit wonder?
I believe it was.
What's amazing, though, is that how they evolutionized to destroy music in general and then try to revive it or bring it back with, like, Legends or also Behind the Music, which I thought were great programs for that.
Yeah.
But, like, was it like Jersey or Big Brother or all those other reality?
Real life.
Real. Good God, what the hell for?
Yeah, they just jumped off a cliff and didn't care.
They jumped a shark. Yeah. And that's just it, you know. But what's amazing is how MTV and VH1 are still on the air to this day, and very little do they have the videos playing, though. You know, it's very, very seldomly that they have that. So anyway, but yeah, it's but this one was definitely, I think, the big kicker to change everything around. So
now I have to say right here that my song and her song are not on the top 100 list.
Really?
For VH1. Yeah.
Well, they're screwed. But so, we definitely need to talk to...
Probably weren't as popular as the ones they listed. So.
Maybe. Yeah. But what we definitely need to do is talk to a professional who knows...
Do we know a professional would know this subject?
Somebody who's mighty. Who knows?
Somebody who is experienced in
records,
older music on vinyl
in records. Yeah, like I don't know. Like Mighty John Marshall. How are you, sir?
I am fine. How are you guys?
Good, man. It's good awesome. To hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy being on with you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So, Mighty John, we wanted to bring you on because it is One Hit Wonder Day, and we wanted to talk about some of the 45s out there that were One Hit Wonders that are probably the most, or should be the most collected out there. And I thought, what better person to talk to than Mighty John Marshall?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, I put a list together of the most valuable ones. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're the most valuable one-hit wonders.
Yes.
And I can ask you, like, who sang the song, and maybe you can tell me.
Ooh.
It's a little game.
I love it when he tests us.
How about Dirty Water? Love that,
love
dirty,
that
water.
Dirty Water.
You know it?
Oh, yeah. You can't remember. I know it, though.
Standells.
Standells.
Dirty Water.
Yeah.
It's played at every Boston Red Sox game because it has the lyrics, Boston, you're my home.
Boston, you're my home.
Although they had never been to Boston before when they recorded that song. So here's the breakdown. Now, the 45 is worth about $20, but if you have the album, it's currently up to $150.
Was that too bad?
Oh, my.
A little good investment there.
I'm going to give you this guy's name. You tell me the title. Every kid from 8 to 80 knows this song. His name is Bobby Day.
Bobby.
Michael Jackson also had a big hit of this song.
It was... No, can't be Ben.
No.
No, okay. Michael Jackson had a big
hit. Ben was a rat. These birds.
Yeah.
Rockin' Robin... Guys, I think Bobby Day.
Rockin' Robin. Tweet. Yeah.
The value just went down. No.
Oh!
Felt that one.
We have a new co-host.
Well, here's a breakdown. Out of 45, worth about $40, but the Rockin' Robin album currently up to $200.
That's not bad. My. That's pretty good. That's a good low investment.
Now, you'll really impress me if you know the name of this band.
Uh-oh.
Song called Double Shot of My Baby's Love.
Oh, Shot of My Baby's Love. Oh, God.
Come on, Steve. You're the older one.
I know the song well, but I can't name the band. Dang it.
They were the Swingin' Medallions. Double Shot of My Baby's Love. Now, this is a 45 on the original label for Sale Records. For Sale was the name of the label. Up to $200. If you'd have it on Smash Records, no more than $15.
So Smash is crushing it.
Here's another one. See, good trivia question here.
Yeah, thank you. Just move on after something like that. Yeah, just move on.
Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs, a number one hit, which in the history of rock and roll is the shortest number one hit of all time at 1:36.
Oh, wow. Minute 36.
One word in the title.
Tequila?
Also, what was it?
Tequila?
No. That would be the Champs.
The Champs did tequila. That's right.
Champs. That's good.
Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs and Stay just a little bit longer.
Really? That is only 1:36?
Yep.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the second shortest number one hit of all time? A letter by the Box Tops. My baby wrote me a letter.
Wow.
Wrote me a letter.
That's cool. See, Steve knows all these ones.
So, Stay. Okay. If you have a Stay album, it's $250 on an album, not a $45, $30.
Okay.
All right. This group from Motown hit number one in 1962 and hit the top 10 again, the same song in 1988 because of the movie Dirty Dancing. The song is called Do You Love Me?
Do you love me?
Yeah. Oh God, I can't think of that. But yeah, okay. We got at least we got the song down.
That's right. Yeah. It did they make a comeback for Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. They were the Contours. Do you love me?
Oh, that's right, the Contours.
The Contours.
Yes. The album up to $300, the $45, $40. Do You Love Me? Contours.
Nice.
All right, we're going back to the 50s doo-wop song. Get a job.
Get a job. I grew up with this one because of my folks. Because my folks were in that era, Mighty John. My mom graduated in 1957. My dad graduated in 58. So I grew up. They were at the beginning of rock and roll. They really were. So I kind of grew up with that music. Yeah, but who did Get a Job, though? I mean, the last time I heard it was Sha Na Na, and they did a horrible version of it. I can't think of the original.
They were known as the Silhouettes.
Silhouettes. Yeah.
Get a Job. The 45 on Junior Records worth up to $400.
Whoa,
wow.
Man.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Incense and Peppermint.
Oh, Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Very good.
We got one. One out of 12. We got one.
The original 45 on All American Records, currently up to $400. Strawberry Alarm Clock.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, One Hit Wonders. Let's see. Who did this song? Listen to the Rhythm of the Falling Rain.
Listen to the Rhythm of the Falling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's right there.
I see it. I see it. Oh, boy, it looks horrible on the tip of that tongue.
Oh, boy.
Falling rain telling me I've been.
Yeah.
Let me cry in vain. Let me be alone again. Oh, I can't remember.
They were the Cascades.
Cascades. That went through my brain.
Makes me want to do the
dishes. Here's the breakdown. The 45, no more than $20, but the album in mono, $100, and the album in stereo, $450.
Jeez!
Listen to the rain.
Holy cow.
How about that?
I like that. Now, why?
I expect everybody to. What's that?
Well, I was going to ask you about John. Okay, so here we have a situation where one is in mono and one is in stereo. Why would the stereo one be more expensive than the mono? Because wouldn't the mono be the first release?
Well, the stereo, because less of them were released in mono. By the beginning of the 60s, mostly everything was in mono, so to find a stereo copy would be rare.
Got
and by
it.
The end of the 60s, mostly everything was in stereo, so to find a mono copy would be rare.
Got it. Okay.
There we go.
That's the difference.
Those tricky label people.
Yes. Now, this one, you got to get this. Everybody knows this. 96 Tears.
96 Tears.
Yeah, who sang it?
Who's the band?
Oh,
come on.
Oh, man.
Oh, I know this. I heard the song so many times, too, but I can't think of the band name.
Yeah.
Wow, we suck,
question
don't we?
Mark and the Mysterians.
Mysterians.
Okay.
Question mark and the Mysterians. Yes.
Interesting.
Original label is called Pogogo Records, and on Pogogo, it's up to $800.
Holy moly. That's a
good find.
That's nice.
That's a
all right, guys. Three more big ones for
okay,
you.
Okay, all right.
This is a classic doo-wop song. There's a moon out tonight.
Man, boy, we're in harmony right there.
Right.
Yeah.
I got chills.
Oh, they're multiplying.
Woo. I'm not denying.
Well, the band was known as the Capris.
The Capris.
And the original 45 on Planet Records, currently up to $1,800.
Holy cow! That's these are jumping now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
All right, two more. Ooh-wee, baby, let me take you on a sea cruise.
A sea cruise?
I've never heard of this one.
Oh, yeah, I know this
one. Oh, sure you have. Ooh-wee, baby.
Ooh-wee. You take you on
let me take
sea
you on
cruise.
Sea cruise.
I don't know.
Your guy's name is Frankie Ford, and on a 78, not a 45, on a 78 on Ace Records, currently up to $2,000.
Wow, on a 78. Jeez, oh.
Yep.
I remember those.
I think I've got a few of those left in my mom's garage, yeah.
Yeah. They made 78s right up until 1960, so that's when they ended.
Interesting.
Now, number one on my list, the biggest surf instrumental song of all time, Wipeout.
Ooh.
Well.
Wipeout.
The Safaris.
Safaris.
You got it.
Yeah.
The original label? The original record label is BFS Records. If you have a copy on that label, currently up to $4,500.
Holy cow.
Now, most people will have it on Dot Records and on Dot, $10.
I'll give you five. Would you take five?
Yeah.
That reminds me of an awful story that I get teased about at a yard sale, a church yard sale I went to.
Okay.
With another record collector.
Yeah,
did I tell you the story?
But you know what? Please tell it again, because we have a new producer, and so she has to hear it, my John.
At a churchyard sale, where all the members of the church are having a yard sale, and I went with a fellow collector, and we both spotted this Elvis record at the same time, and I grabbed it first, and they had a little sticker of a quarter on it, and my friend said, ask them if they'll take a dime. So I said, would you take 10 cents for this? Oh, sure. And then I sold it for $1,300. No. I'm going to burn.
You should see the look on her face now. She's like, whoa.
We were just talking about that yard sale fines and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking about you the other day, Mighty John, because there was an estate sale. And of course, my wife goes, hey, they've got a bunch of records. Why don't you go check it out? And I'm like, okay. So I did. And I should have taken a picture of the covers. But there was like two Elvis gospel 45s that were there. And I go,
oh, good.
And I'm going, God, should I take him? Should I not take him? I go, where is Mighty John when I need him? You know, kind of a thing. And I'm going, okay, which phone do I have on me? Because I almost called you also. And I have the wrong phone.
Sure.
I have my personal line, not my business line with me. I'm going, damn it. And I didn't know whether or not I should buy these.
How much were they?
I think they were asking like $2 or whatever for the 45.
Yeah.
And but
did they have the?
Go ahead.
Did they have the picture sleeves of Elvis's picture on them?
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, oh shit!
Oh, man!
all of them I can think of, the gospel 45s with Elvis's picture, are in the $200 to $300 price range.
Oh, God.
Why don't you go back? See if they're still there.
Oh, jeez. No, this was a couple of weeks ago, and I knew I should have picked them
up. You should have called me.
Oh, my God. All right. You know what? If I do that again, there's like absolutely, I got to call and go, okay, I'm going to send it to you right now, my John. Here's a picture. You know, pick it up or not.
And ask them if they'll take a dime.
Exactly. Will you take a buck? I know it's $2. Will you take a dollar instead?
That's pretty steep.
You know, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's really a case of seller beware more than buyer beware.
Right.
You're only paying what the seller is asking. So if they don't know what they're worth, that's not your fault.
Right, yeah. And you know what, I got to admit, there was an older lady there, though, because they also had these different collections, and some were 78s and so forth, and where she was actually looking up, like, what the value was of some of these albums, you know.
Cool.
I was like, going, good for her, you know.
I wonder if she was on his website.
I don't know if she was or not, but... You know,
she might have been on John's website.
Yeah, you know, but I'm
that's
like,
right.
But I kind of went through them, you know, and it, you know, it is. I got to say, my wife and I, we were talking about how interesting it is after, you know, someone passes and there's an actual estate sale, because you get to learn so much about that person. And even just right. going through her music collection, I mean, she had everything from Glenn Campbell to some of the crooners and everything. But she was also heavy into what to me looked like classical artists of the 60s who would do classical yeah. music kind of a thing. That was like her heavy stuff, you know, that she had an awful lot. And then, you know, you come across a modern artist or something like that, you know.
Well, the big money that we usually find at estate sales are for old 78s. And there's a category known as pre-war blues. Blues 78s that came out prior to World War II. Most of them sell in the $10,000 price range. So we find most of those at estate sales. So
wow.
If you find an old 78 and it has the word blues in the title, pick it up.
Okay. I got to go look in my garage right now then and find out what I've got. Mike John, there is Billy Crystal one time talked about the record label that his family owned that was jazz. And all of them were on 78s as well and everything. I'm trying to remember the name of the label, though.
I think there was some sort of relation between Billy Crystal and the producer of the Bill Haley and the Comets record.
Yes, that was his uncle.
Yeah.
That was his okay. uncle. And then his uncle ran the record store and the label, and then when he went off to do Bill Haley and the Comets, the store then got taken over by Billy's father. And Billy's father then was considered to be the Branch Rickey of jazz, because he would mix the different jazz artists together, you know, black with whites and so forth, and really mix it, and then put on these shows and everything. And matter of fact, Billie Holiday's record, Strange Fruit, is actually on their label, and which is really interesting.
Is it Clef Records, C-L-E-F?
No. Can you see if we can find that out real quick, Casey? Because Billy talks about it in a play called 700 Sundays.
Got it right here.
Look at Billy Crystal and look at his family. Decca keeps coming to mind. It's not Decca. It's something else.
Yeah. When I'm checking her labels and Columbia's where she had most of them.
Right.
Jolly Roger, another one. Verve, Everest. Commodore.
That's it. Commodore. That's okay. Right. The Commodore label.
Yeah, her album's on Commodore. She had three of them. Four of them on Commodore.
Yeah.
Each one worth up to $400 to $500.
Wow. So if someone had, let's say, the whole Commodore collection then, you know, because there was only so many that were made on the 78s.
Yeah.
You know,
it would all depend on the recording artist, not so much the label. She's very collectible.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be worth money whether she's on Commodore or any other label.
Got it.
But if it's an artist that's not really collectible, the label's not going to make much difference.
Got it. Yeah, I remember Billy talking about it, and where apparently I guess his father had to sell his personal collection of the whole Commodore label to make money, because he had lost his job or something, whatever, and he sold the whole collection for $500 back then. You know, so sometimes I always keep that in the back of my head and say, I gotta ask Mighty John about it. You know, would it be super
or
something?
I would have asked him if you'd take a dime.
I'll leave Mighty John. He's always. Mighty John, with certain artists, obviously, after they pass away, their record sales obviously go up. And normally it's going to be their greatest hits and everything. But sometimes their album sales go up too. Last year we lost a personal friend of ours and a friend of the program, Trini Lopez.
Oh yeah.
Trini had a huge collection, though, of his. I mean, he said he's recorded over 80 albums within his career. I would presume, though, that the ones that are worth any major value, though, would be the more popular ones that he recorded here in the U.S. Would that be a proper assumption?
Well, you know, two things. The death of a recording artist does not increase value. Only time will increase value. Mm-hmm. That may not be true with other forms of collectibles, but when it comes to records, time is the great factor.
Got it.
Great artists, but not necessarily very collectible. Most of his albums, I think, on Reprise, Frank Sinatra's label, would be in that $20 to $25 price range. Mm-hmm. The death really wouldn't increase the value.
Got it. Okay. All right. And
but a great artist.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And now, does also the on the size of, let's say, an artist's collection make a difference too, though? As far as like how many albums they put out?
No.
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 Okay.
No. It all depends on the big five genres: rock and roll, country, blues, soul, and jazz. Those are the big five. Mm-hmm. It's certainly probably rock and roll overall the most collectible. But within rock and roll, there are subcategories that are very collectible. Doo-wop, rockabilly, surf music, British Invasion, Motown. So those types of records is where you're going to find most of the value. In the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. Overall, the 80s and 90s, not too much right there right now.
Cool. Well, I have a question.
Oh, yeah, you did. You have...
Okay. Yeah, Mighty John, what I did for this, the bit, we did a little bit before what our favorite number one, or what our favorite one-hit wonders were. Excuse me. And I called up, I just Googled, you know, top one-hit wonders, and I got VH1's yep. Top 100 one-hit wonders. And in my life, I always thought that a one-hit wonder was a group that had one really good hit and then none of their other music meant anything, or you know, they didn't really have a lot of songs,
right.
Even something like that. But in the list on the 100, there were a lot of groups that had other meaningful music. I guess it was
yep.
just this one hit, you know, went up to the top in the top 10 or so, or whatever
right.
it was.
Right.
What's your definition of a one hit wonder in the group that does it?
Well, I think it would have to make at least the top 40. And if it didn't make the top 40, it's not going to be another hit. So if he had one record in the top 40 and they never made the top 40 again, I think you consider them to be a one-hit wonder. Because all the artists that we mentioned and the ones we just gave you, they all had a number of records. Some mm-hmm. of them made the charts but never, you know, broke the top 40.
Okay.
And we never think of, you know, you think of a Strawberry Alarm Clock. You can't think of any of the other records that they had.
True.
So, you know, Incense and Peppermint wasn't their only record, but
right.
That was the one hit.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I would say
okay.
if it didn't make the top 40 more than once, they're not a one. They're a one-hit wonder if they only made the top 40 once.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
I think, yeah, I think I'm adjusting my thought process about what a one-hit wonder is. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the irony is, a lot of one-hit wonders releases after they had the hit can oftentimes be worth more than the actual one-hit wonder because they're, you know, far fewer of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, like the Cascades, for instance, that Rhythm of the Rain 45 on Valiant Records by itself worth up to about $10 to $15. And then they put out a song called Cinderella, which went nowhere, but it's worth up to $200.
Jeez.
Because it's rare.
It's a little bit more rare.
Hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different take on it that I never thought about before, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Man. Mighty John, it is always good to hear your voice, and I'm so glad that we contacted you again and everything. And we want to try and, of course, use you a little bit more every now and then. So I think next time we want to get together is probably around Halloween or so. And talking about some of the more collective albums for Halloween.
I have a list of the top 10 most valuable
it.
Halloween records.
This is why we come to Mighty John Marshall. Exactly.
And meanwhile, I hope you go to my website, moneymusic.com, and find out the value of any record that you have.
Yeah, please do, because, I mean, he, and not only that, though, but every day he puts out, like, the record of the day. and it gives you the background information on it and so forth. And like I was reading the one about the one you posted the other day about Eminem. And I went, wow, I did not know that. That's kind of cool, you know. So it is full of information. It is full of the different values. And you can buy, I guess, was it the discs there that Mighty John, where he's appraised every record there and the different genres and so forth. Or you can just call him and talk to him, and he'll help you out. Just make sure you do have the record in front of you, though. That's going to be the most important thing.
So you can
Have appraised right online. As well, you can just, there's a little form where you can fill out, and within 24 hours you can get an answer as to the value of your record. But the big guide is it's a disc, 1995, and it lists the values for over a million records from 1902 to the present day.
Whoa.
Hey, that's a lot of records.
1902.
That's actually before you were born, Steve.
That's hard to believe.
I know.
It is. Now, we, in preparation for this, we all kind of picked our favorite one hit wonder. Do you have one?
Do I have a favorite one? I always go by the one that's worth the most. That's my favorite one.
There we go.
So the safaris it is.
It's the safaris.
I think they're going to have on my tombstone. Would you take a dime?
Would you take a dime?
That actually would be pretty funny.
You
know what? Just for that, my John, I might go visit your grave. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Put a dime down and go, would you take a nickel?
Hey, I tell you what, if we do Halloween, I'll also tell you the story of the day that I had an encounter with the ghost in Stephen King's house.
Oh.
You know what? You're on, Mighty John.
You're on, yeah. That'd be fun.
You are on, sir. We will put you down and make sure we definitely get you back on for that then. Absolutely, for our Halloween show.
All right,
show.
Guys.
My John,
I
always
like it.
Again.
That would be fun.
Yeah, and again, always good to hear your voice, and I'm so glad you're still with us to this day, man, and keep going strong and stay healthy for us, too, would you?
All right. You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mighty John.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. All right. Love Mighty John Marshall.
I love so talking good. To him. It's just, it's fun.
It is.
It's fun.
It is.
It's a sort of an up and slightly unusual conversation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's really cool.
And again, guys, seriously, if you want to get your record appraised, you know, definitely do it. I mean, this man knows everything. And everything that he just rattled off to you, whatever, that's off the top of his head. I'm sure he had some notes there or whatever. But everything that was off topic, you know, that was off the top of his head. That's how much knowledge this man has.
Just has it.
Yeah. So moneymusic.com, go to it, find out how much your records are worth. And God, I could have had $200, $400 worth of
it. How about that? We should have asked him about the Yule log, the Disney Christmas
one?
Albums.
We'll
do that at Christmas. Yeah, we'll do that for Christmas.
Exactly. Always good to talk to Mighty John Marshall, though. Always, always good. Well, let's get our sponsor in real quick, Lou.
You know...
No, what?
With things starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing new signs.
Well, you know, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merch? Companies needing some new canopies maybe for conventions.
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simply go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Yep, Stranger Prints is the official merchandise printer for Your Weekly Dose podcast. They do all of our shirts that we give away. Yes, guys, we give away shirts, but you got to call in. We'll tell you more about that later. But that's not all they do.
Yeah, they do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com and tell them that Your Weekly Dose sent you, because damn it, we just do.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, I think we got... something fun coming up here.
Yeah. How you doing, Casey?
Doing well. How you guys holding up?
Okay.
I'm amped. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but now it's a party.
Well, if you want, you can go call Mighty John Marshall back if you want.
Hush.
Dude.
All right. Okay. So I don't know if we got any music. I forgot to tell you what my one-hit wonder was, though.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Well, to me, this one-hit wonder is pop perfect. I mean, no other pop song out there, I think, can outdo this song. Because when you hear it, you feel so warm inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you feel good. No matter how pissed off you are, no matter how depressed you are, I will guarantee you will feel so good when this song is played and Casey finds it again to play it for us.
She's going, giving us that stretch it out, stretch it out.
The Riverdale Carnival presents so, the Archies.
Take care of the kissing booth while we're singing, Sabrina.
Okay, everybody, here we go with our new hit record, Sugar, Sugar.
Yeah. Just right away, it gets you.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me.
He's grabbing a guitar.
I just can't believe the loveliness of loving you. I just can't believe it's true. I just can't believe the wonder of this feeling too. I just can't believe it's true.
Ah, sugar.
Ah, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me wanting you. Oh, honey, ah, sugar, sugar, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. When I kissed your girl, I knew how sweet a kiss could be, how sweet a kiss could be. Like the summer sunshine, pour your sweetness over me,
pour your sweetness over me.
Oh, sugar,
sugar, honey, 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 sugar, honey, baby.
I'm the one that's so sweet,
yeah, yeah. Oh, sugar on it, oh yeah. Oh, sugar on it, honey. Oh, yeah, sugar on it, baby.
Yeah, read the lyrics.
He's still offbeat.
Sugar on it, honey.
All right, so okay. This is pop perfect, man. The perfect song. Now, do you know the history about this song?
I know the Archies.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite comic books, by the way, when I was a kid.
All right, Donny Kirshner, who was the music supervisor for the Monkees, who picked the songs that went on the album and everything, was also the music supervisor for the Archie's TV show.
Oh, cool.
So he knew this young songwriter by the man name of Andy Kim.
Doesn't ring a bell here.
Rock me gently, rock it slowly.
Okay.
Take it easy, don't you know that I have never been loved like this before. That's Andy Kim. Andy Kim wrote Sugar Sugar.
Whoa.
Now they're going, okay, we got the song. We need the proper singer, though, to do this song. Well, Donny Kirshner knew this young man who just came out of an advertising firm writing jingles with this piano player. Okay? Well, this young singer was Ron Dante. That's the guy who sings Sugar Sugar. Ron Dante, after he kind of got popular doing the stuff for the Archies, because he also did Betty and Veronica's voice when they were singing, but he just did it in his falsetto voice.
Wow.
So Ron then decided to help out his piano friend and produce his first four or five albums or so.
that piano person was Barry Manilow.
Oh my, Mr. Commercial himself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
they
so cool.
They were the writing team at this firm and wrote the jingles, like, you know, "You Deserve a Break Today," and "I'm a Pepper, You're a Pepper, He's a Pepper." You know,
no, they, wouldn't you like to be a pepper, pepper too?
Be a pepper, be Dr. Pepper, be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper. I like to teach the world to sing.
Yeah, imperfect.
So anyway, so Ron Dante and Barry Manilow wrote a lot of those jingles back, you know, late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. basically. And, you know, and then, but to help Barry out, you know, he goes back and produces and then sings backup on some of Barry's songs, like Mandy.
Oh, I love that song.
So there you, so what does the Monkees have to do with Barry Manilow? 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. There you go, baby.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm if you don't mind,
yeah,
I'm
no one
going
cares,
to see
Steve.
If she can find something as well, because on the one-hit wonder list was my one-hit wonder guilty pleasure. It's I don't necessarily mention this very much, but okay. It's a song I think is so cool. It's by Sir Mix-a-Lot called
I Like Big Butts.
Baby Got Back.
Oh, Baby Got Back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. That's I don't know if she's gonna be able to find it or not.
I'm sure. Just gotta wait for the commercials done.
Oh,
perfect.
But
it's so big.
There you go.
There it is.
She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. Who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute. Okay. I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just
think,
so round.
I think the only
southern.
Time I really ever liked this song is in Charlie's Angels.
She's just so...
When Charlie's...
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other fellas can't deny. Now when I wanna rock in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Wow, he actually knows the words.
Yeah.
Even a jean she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby.
Baby.
I wanna get hooked up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me with that butt you got me.
Oh, honey.
Rump a smooth skin. You say you wanna get my beans? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing. To hell with romance and she's sweat. Wet. Got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines. Send flat butts all the thing. Hit the average black man and ask him left. She got a pack much back. So fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah.
Your girlfriend got your butt.
Hell yeah.
Shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it.
Shake,
it.
Shake that healthy
butt.
Baby
got back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing karaoke now on Saturdays.
I am so stoked about it. It's just so much fun.
You know what? We should do that. Karaoke.
We should.
No.
Yeah. We'll go broad line.
What are you afraid of?
We'll go remote.
Our ratings.
On karaoke.
I like that. Our ratings. Hello. God, we actually haven't done that in a long time. It's gone for karaoke night.
Oh, that'd be fun. Thank you for finding that. That was
Oh, cool. All righty. Well, let's segue into this, though. This is kind of cool. Not only is it One Hit Wonder Day, but it's also Comic Book Day today, too. So if you get a chance, stop into a comic book somewhere. Sometimes they give certain comic books away for free, which is really, really cool. So I'm going to run this down real quick. The most expensive comic books in the world.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you this, though. 1 and 2 are exactly the same. But the way they're graded shows you how much a half a point can separate the dollar value.
Ooh.
So here we go. Number 10, Marvel Comics number 1, $350,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, right off the bat, yeah. Basically, this is the...
did cost a nickel.
It's, of course, it has many of the popular superhero characters that are introduced in this issue, such as the Human Torch and, of course, Submariner. Tales of Suspense, number 39, $375,000. Basically, this is the one that introduced Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Flash Comics, number one, and of course, with The Flash, $450,000.
Sheldon's most popular superhero.
Exactly. The Flash. I love it when they all dress up as The Flash. So good. So good. Okay, number seven is X-Men, number one, $492,000. Now, this one I thought was a little low, but I was very surprised to see it, though. But it's still in the top 10. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, number one. So this is basically the first issue of Batman's solo series. And this also features his two biggest arch enemies, the Joker and Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is $567,000.
Half a million dollars.
It is the first one. Batman number one is the first one to go over that mark. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like, who's got this money? Okay. All-Star Comics, number eight. Now, this issue is very important because it talks about the Justice Society of America, but it also features Wonder Woman's origin story and her debut. Whoa. So it's all in one. All-Star Comics, number eight, $936,000.
Wow.
So if you've got that at an estate sale,
don't tell anyone.
And just pay what it says and walk away.
Here's a nickel. Would you take 2 cents? All right.
But it says 10 cents on it.
All right, here we go. Detective Comics, number 27. This is number four. This is the first appearance of Batman. $1.075 million. So the $1 million mark already.
$1 million.
Okay. Mm. Number three, I was very surprised on this, but knowing what has happened in cinema recently, I guess, and knowing that the originator has passed away, might have increased the value. But Amazing Fantasy number 15. This is the first appearance of Spider-Man. $1.1 million.
Whew.
Okay. So which one do you think is the Holy Grail?
Superman.
That is right. The debut of Superman is the Holy Grail of all comic books. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, so it's Action Comics number one. Now, the CGC, which is the people who grade the comics. So, in other words, how good of a quality is it in? Okay. For one that is at 8.5, a grading level of 8.5,
mm-hmm.
$1.5 million.
Wow.
Now, only a half a point more. So, at a grading scale of 9.0, it jumps up to $3.2 million.
Good Lord.
So if you've got comic books right now,
start going through them.
Go through them, put them on backboards, put them in the plastic, preserve the hell out of them.
Exactly.
I just found out recently that some of the comics that I started to collect are now worth $80, $90, $100, $150 now.
Too bad there weren't three more zeros on it.
Hey, I think by the time...
You're 107?
Yeah. Roman gets my age, though. Can you imagine how much those may be worth, though?
Yeah. They might be worth more, yeah.
You know, and these are all first editions that I picked up.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I got into comics totally by accident. I was...
Just tripped and fell into the store?
Just about. I kid you not. See, just about. Because what happened was that I had a buddy of mine I went in college with. We had a history class together. And the thing was that... he asked if we could stop by the comic book store real quick. And I went, sure, it's okay, you know, whatever, we'll kill time. And so we go into the comic book store, and then I see a poster of Robin from Batman and Robin, right? But it was a newer-looking, updated costume. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, I said, wow, didn't it kind of give Robin an upgrade kind of a thing? He goes... My buddy Brett goes, yeah, that's the new Robin. I go, what do you mean the new Robin? He goes, well, they killed the last one. And I went, oh, they killed Dick Grayson? They go, oh, no, they killed Jason Todd. I'm like, oh, they killed Jason. Who's Jason Todd? I had no idea. And so that started me on going, what's the story? What's going on or whatever, you know, and what have you. And that started my collection.
Huh.
You know,
cool.
So I wanted to go back and find out, why did Dick leave, and, you know, and who's Jason Todd, and then why did Jason die, and how did he die, and then who's Tim Drake, and everything. And it's when you go through some of these comic books, man, it is like reading a soap opera. You know, it really, really is, and it's really interesting.
That's pretty
too.
Amazing. Yeah, I got into comic strips when I was like 4 or 5, and this was in like the mid-50s. Mm-hmm. And but I wasn't into the superhero stuff for some reason; just wasn't into it. But I was into like Disney cartoons, like mm-hmm. Donald Duck with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Mickey Mouse and stuff. And I was into the Archies, mm-hmm. their comic books and
the originals, yeah.
And one weird thing I was really into were Tales from the Crypt. And
I heard some of those are...
When I was little, I had some of those from, like, the 40s and stuff, and I just love that stuff.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, my parents decided when I was, like, 1920 that I was now had become a man, and they threw them all away. Yep, my baseball cards too.
Oh,
I had Mickey Mantle cards. I had the 55 Dodgers World Championship cards, and just, you know, all the superstars from that era, from those years.
I
it was
would
like
be hating my parents.
Oh,
to
I
this
did.
Day.
It was like, are you kidding? You threw that away? And
well, you're not here no more.
Yeah, you don't need those. What's wrong with you? Boy. They were mine.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So please, if you're listening out there, don't throw these things away because
ask
your kids think your kids don't need them.
Ask your children. They might send them through college later on.
That's right. Or send their kids through college.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, if you think your kid has too many things, the things that you want to throw away, instead of throwing away, put them in a box or something somewhere and store them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They'll love you for it.
Casey, where are we on at time right now? What time do we got?
11:20.
Okay, cool. So we're kind of winding down here. All right. If we go over time, Casey, go ahead and undo mix. So if we begin to go over time, and so that way we can let our affiliates know that if we do go over time, whatever, that their feed of the show will stop at 11:30. Continue on. So. All right. Well, you know what? It's also Hispanic Heritage Month.
Uh huh.
So, and we probably should find maybe some kind of little bit of Mexican music up there somewhere. There you go,
Mexican head dance.
I like it. So, we're gonna give you guys the Mexican words of the day. Mm-hmm. And so, Steve's gonna tell you what the word is, and. And then we'll use it in a sentence, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is what we'll
okay.
do.
Okay. Are you ready? You've got your accent going?
Si.
Your sense? Okay.
Si.
Yeah. Do you like this bit?
Si.
Oh, good, good. Okay, first word.
Sigh.
Sigh?
So.
So?
Si.
Here's the first word.
All right.
Wheelchair. Wheelchair.
Juan and me have uno taco, pero it's okay, wheelchair.
Okay, next word. Deliver. Deliver.
Hey, you shouldn't stress so much, man. It's bad on deliver.
Okay, word number 3. Ebola. Ebola.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. Steve went bowling, and he bought a perfect game.
Ice chest. Ice chest.
Hey, don't get mad, man. I'm just playing with you.
See?
All right. Did you have a son?
See.
What's his name?
Sai.
Sai?
See.
Blueberry. Blueberry.
Oh, the roof on my house is gone. The wind last night blew very hard.
Okay. Herbivore or herbivore.
Oh, she says I got her pregnant, but I've never seen her before.
Chicken wing. chicken wing.
Oh, my wife, she plays a lot of lottery, so chicken wings some money.
Entice. Entice.
Oh, my lady, she gets a little rough sometimes, and I like it when she blindfolds me and ties me up. See.
See, do you have a daughter?
See.
What's her name?
Sue.
Sue?
See.
Obama. Obama.
Hey, I bought a case of beer and I will drink it all by myself.
And our last Mexican word of the day, Biden.
Hey, man, who took a bite of me taco?
Arriba! There's so much culture in this. I love it. People are standing up and applauding right now.
Somewhere.
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 Somewhere people yeah. are standing.
They're not
up.
Listening to our show, but they're standing up and applauding.
Applauding, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we have one more phone call to try and make here.
Oh, yeah. We all know that there's always a national day of something. I can't believe that it's already been a year that we've spoken to our favorite whale.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, folks, I'm talking about Shamu from SeaWorld, and today is Shamu the Whale Day. So if we can, yes, we're going to call our friend Shamu and find out what he's been up to. Okay, Casey? Yeah, we can call him now, please. Hey, Shamu!
Speaking. How can I help you?
I don't know if you remember us, but we spoke last year. This is Steve from your Weekly Dose podcast.
Oh, yeah, I remember you guys. Yeah, you're the ones that are always wailing laughter back and forth.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, yes, we are always laughing.
Yeah, so is this one of those don't call us, whale call you type of phone calls?
I see what you did there again. No, Shamu, it's Shamu the Whale Day, and we just wanted to call to see how you've been, sort of to check in.
Oh, you know, since you keep calling me Shamu, you probably don't remember my real name, do you, Mr. Norwell? Norwittle.
You want to try that again?
Norwittle,
Mr.
Yeah.
Norwittle. Know-it-all, got it. I remember your real name was, of course...
Mike.
Oh, it was?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Mike, right. Mike, of course. Oh, okay, so how have you been of late, Mike?
Yeah, it's good. And I don't care. Call me weird name. I don't mind. I've been a little bloated lately, though.
Really?
Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll start a plan B giant, you know. I see the line right. You know.
No, but
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tomorrow we'll start on a plant and herb diet, plant based diet. One
oh, really?
One of those, yeah. You know, tomorrow?
Wait.
Tomorrow?
What?
I feel bloated.
Really?
Yeah.
Hi. That's your line.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I feel bloated.
Really?
Yeah, yep, sure do. Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll start on a plant-based diet.
Oh, really?
Yep. Don't test me, Steve, you know. We'll do it, too.
Oh, I believe you will.
Yep, just need to fill in my tux again, you know.
Your tux?
Yeah, you know, because I play in the orchestra.
I didn't know that you played an instrument.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing the sea bass for years.
Had no idea.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fantastic player.
Oh, yeah, so what else have you been up to?
Well, I've been reading this book.
Oh, what's it about?
Great story about my favorite Scottish hero.
Mm-hmm.
William Playless.
You know, Shamu,
Scottish hero.
William Wallace.
Yeah, Scottish guy.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah,
I can't take my freedom.
Yeah. Boy, what they did to her, his wife was just unconscionable.
William Wallace.
Okay. Oh, Shamu.
Yeah.
Do you want to quit whilst you're ahead?
Catching on, but I'm glad you called me today, because tomorrow I'm really busy.
And what are you doing tomorrow?
I'm putting up some whale paper. Yep, I did that on purpose.
I can tell.
Yeah, and then after that I'm going out to see the orchidonist in the afternoon.
Well, I'm so glad we called you today. To wish you happy Shamu Whale Day, but before we go, I'd like to ask you just a few questions.
Sure, go right ahead.
Do you have a favorite?
I got nothing to do. Okay. I'm just hanging here, in the tank.
Anything else you want to say that's not in the script?
Nope.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do you have a favorite game show?
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune.
I know. There's a fish that can fly, but are there any whales that can fly?
Well, yeah, man. Pilot whales.
Oh. What was your favorite game as a young whale?
Probably Salmon Says.
Salmon Says. Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, I was wondering something, as a matter of information for our listening audience.
Yes.
This is something that I'm
sure...
Hey,
you're improvising too. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, you do it, I do it.
Yes.
But I have... Now I got to... I got to find my line and say it. Okay, so I was wondering, do fish ever cry?
No, but I've seen a few whales blubber.
Well, before I let you go, I do have my own whale joke that I'd like to tell you.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear it, Steve. Lay it on me, my human friend.
Okay, here goes.
All right.
Why did the whale swim across the ocean?
I don't know, Steve. Why did the whale swim across the ocean?
To get to the other tide. Get it? The other tide.
Well, thanks for calling to help bring up the craziness, Steve. I must say that I've had a lot of my brine.
Tide.
Yeah, I got it, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Shamu.
What's that?
A brine is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, look, I see what you did there. That was pretty good. Yeah, well, listen, man, I'm going to go watch my favorite movie.
What's that?
The Humpback of Notre Dame. Nah, forget it. I think I'm going to watch Jaws. So, all right, Steve.
Okay, Shamu, thank you.
All right, Steve, it's good to hear. I'm hoping I'll talk to you next year.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow, I love talking to Shamu. He's,
dude,
he's so into it. He's punnier than I expected.
Yes, he is. Yes,
we're in on time, kiddo.
It's 11:30. You want to say goodbye to your listeners?
So, actually, you know what? We're good right now because we got through everything we needed to get through. So we shall say goodbye to everybody. So let's go ahead and hit that theme. And, such a good theme. And thank the great, mighty John Marshall for joining us. And telling us how much money you can make by collecting records. Just go out and find the right ones. That's the big thing of all, baby. All right. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is yourweeklydose. Twitter and Instagram, find us at yourweeklydose1.
I'm on Facebook, Steve Silva, and Twitter at SilvaLining69.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's all the same. It's simply Sean R. Unplugged. Simple as that.
I'm always in Facebook jail, so you cannot follow me.
Exactly. All righty, guys. Well, listen, go out and have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy it. Guys, please, if you can, wear your masks. Be safe. Treat each other wonderfully out there, too. Be good to each other.
Keep singing, world.
We are. Gonna find you.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.